targeted two vital Israeli enemy targets in the al-Rashrash area in southern occupied Palestine. The operation successfully achieved its objectives, thanks be to Allah. Free and independent Yemen affirms that the only option for our Arab and Islamic nation in the face of this enemy, which is attacking Arab and Islamic countries and committing massacres and genocide against our people in Gaza, is to confront, stand firm, and provide all necessary support to the oppressed Palestinian people and their noble and honorable resistance. We will continue to fulfill our religious, moral, and humanitarian duties until the aggression against Gaza stops and the siege is lifted.
Well, the Israeli genocide in Gaza is taking Palestinian lives by the hour, with the regime focusing its deadly strikes on Gaza City. Medical sources say Israel has killed at least 25 people on Monday so far, almost all of them in Gaza City. One of the latest attacks has hit Nusayrat refugee camp, killing at least one person and injuring several others. This is amid bombing of the Shifa and Hillel hospitals in the city. The former was hosting 12 newborns at the time of the strike. Gaza's health ministry says contact with a hospital and its staff is lost and that their situation is unknown. Meanwhile, Israeli forces killed two more Palestinians as troopers opened fire on civilians waiting in line to get aid in the southern Gaza city of Khan Yunis. Gaza is also reeling from a regime-imposed famine. It has killed hundreds, including a newborn and a 13-year-old boy who died from hunger on Sunday. Israel has so far killed over 66,000 Palestinians in Gaza since October 2023. The Hamas resistance movement says it has not received any new proposal from mediators Qatar and Egypt regarding a ceasefire in the Gaza Strip. Senior Hamas official Hisham Badran said the group is open to all ideas and proposals to stop the genocide in Gaza without compromising its demands and national principles. His remarks came after U.S. President Donald Trump expressed optimism that a deal is near to end the war in Gaza. Badran said this is not the first time the American side has spoken about numerous initiatives and ideas, but it takes time before those initiatives are offered to Hamas through mediators. He stressed that the movement has not received any proposals related to the remarks that are being currently circulated by Trump or others. Badran said Hamas's demands are national and are made in full consultation with the Palestinian factions. He stressed that Hamas is keen to stop the war, but Israel uses the resistance's weapons as pretext to continue its war of extermination in Gaza. Well, Spain has decided to join the Hague Group, which seeks to impose new sanctions on Israel in order to stop the ongoing genocide in the Gaza Strip. The Spanish government's decision was announced on the sidelines of the 80th UN General Assembly meeting. The Hague Group is a 34-nation coalition whose goal is to mount pressure on Israel and end its impunity for atrocities committed in Gaza. It also means to uphold the rulings of the International Court of Justice and the International Criminal Court in relation to Israel's aggression against Palestinians. The group's agenda includes a wide range of measures, such as banning the export of dual-use equipment to Israel, prohibiting military shipments through member states' ports, and terminating public contracts with institutions that support the occupation. It also intends to enforce oil sanctions and other punitive measures against the Tel Aviv regime. We earlier discussed this issue with political commentator Robert Inlakish. He said Spain's move is a major blow to Israel on public relations level, but it is not enough to stop the genocide in Gaza.
Well, Spain has shown itself to actually be one of those governments in Europe that has decided to take a moral stance. It has taken some time, we may note, but Spain, of course, has canceled three different weapon sales. It has broken off ties in many ways, but still it has relations with the Israelis. It still maintains relations, which is a surprise when you consider that they're openly accusing the Israelis at this point of genocide, and they have joined on to the Hague Group. despite these efforts, you know, attempting to hold the Israelis accountable and uphold international law, they fall short of being capable of actually stopping the Israelis from committing their genocide. In terms of what it does on a, let's say, a public relations level, this is a major blow to the Israelis on a public relations level, and it is another dent as well put on the regime. So there is an effect, there is an impact that this does have, despite there being elements that are symbolic, of course. Is it enough? Evidently not. The genocide is still going on and escalating, but is it making a difference? Yes. Ultimately, in the overarching scheme of things, yes, it does make an impact and a difference, especially to Israelis themselves.
And now to the occupied West Bank, where the Israeli military has carried out a mass detention campaign, abducting 7 Palestinians, including a child, and shutting down a UN-run clinic in the El Jalzoun refugee camp north of Ramallah. For more details on this, we are now joined by our correspondent, Naka Hamid. Naka, again, this is not the first time that the Israelis and the settlers have carried out such detentions. What details do you have for us there on the ground?
Yes, Caitlin. Well, since the hours of last night, the Israeli forces have been raiding Al Jalzoun refugee camp to the north of occupied Ramallah. And until these moments, they are still in Al Jalzoun and in its surrounding, arresting Palestinians and making a full movement ban towards that area. That very this is a very viable area for the entire north of Ramallah city, where Palestinians usually come to Ramallah from that road, and the Israeli forces have closed it since the hours of the morning. Inside Al Jalzoun refugee camp, the actual raids are going on, as we have talked to local resources from inside the refugee camp, stating that Israeli forces have been going through the homes of Al Jalzoun refugee camp, door to door and home to home, ransacking homes and searching for unidentified objects, maybe, but they are searching every home and taking the youth, the Palestinian youth, towards a field interrogation center that they have made inside Al Jalzoun refugee camp. Until now, we are talking about tens of arrests from inside Al Jalzoun refugee camp, but they remain inside. They remain inside it. They have not been taken away to detention camps or to military bases as usual. And this may indicate that they will be released in the coming hours. Of course, while raiding Al Jalzoun refugee camps, confrontations happened between the Palestinians and these raiding IOF forces. Al Jalzoun was not the only refugee camp under fire in the last couple of hours. Also, Al Amari refugee camp in Ramallah city, and also Al Arroub refugee camp to the north of occupied Al Khalil, have been under systematic attack. This is not a new thing, unfortunately, that we are saying this, but this is not a new thing to these refugee camps to be under such aggression. Well, on other places, the Israeli forces also made incursions towards Tul Kerem and Jenin this night, attacking Palestinians in the area of the Nabe and in the surrounding areas of Nur Shams and Tul Kerem refugee camps, and of course Jenin refugee camp. The situation has not settled down over there, even after almost 300 days of military aggression upon those two cities. The Palestinians, the Palestinian resistance seems over there is still trying to make hits towards the Israeli forces.
And exactly, Naka. Well, on that point, I'd like to thank you, as always, Naka Hamad, there, of course, joining us from Ramallah, for those details on the latest situation from the occupied West Bank. Well, pro-Palestine activists and other groups of people have held another protest rally in the French capital of Paris to condemn the ongoing Israeli genocide against the Palestinian people in Gaza. Demonstrators called on the French government to impose sanctions against Israel, noting that recognition of Palestine is not enough. Our correspondent has talked to some of the participants, and this is what they had to say.
I'm here because I support the Palestinians, and I support the rights of the Palestinians. And I think like the continued extermination and the expulsion of Palestinians is not the way to achieve peace. So we need to draw attention to what's happening. So yeah, I'm here. But actually, it's been a genocide. As far as I'm concerned, it's been a genocide for 77 years. Like since the creation of Israel, they've been methodically pushing out, by every means possible, they've been pushing out the Palestinians. So it's been going on for 77 years. It's not just the last 2 years. I'm sorry. It's a genocide that's been going on for 77 years.
For France to do more than just recognize Palestine, because recognizing Palestine exists and has existed for such a long time. So recognizes is not enough. Recognize Palestine is not enough. We need sanctions. We need France to stop selling arms. We need France to not let Netanyahu fly by plane over France. We need to stop the genocide.
Now crossing over to Pakistan, whose capital Islamabad has witnessed a massive protest on Sunday as demonstrators rallied against the United States and the Israeli regime over the ongoing genocide in Gaza. Our correspondent Nasser Kazmi brings us more in this report.
Anger in the streets against the U.S. and Israel. Protesters in Islamabad burned American and Israeli flags to record their outrage against the ongoing genocide of Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip and the U.S. complicity in Israeli crimes.
The United States is hand in hand for the massacre and genocide, Israeli genocide in Gaza. The United States has provided not only financial aid, but all the F-16s and all the weapons which are being used to exterminate Palestinians in Gaza.
Demonstrators held the U.S. and its European allies responsible for the killing of tens of thousands of innocent Palestinians by supplying weapons that fueled the bloodshed and for shielding Israel from international accountability.
America, which claims to be a champion of human rights, why does it turn a blind eye to Gaza? Men, women, and children are being slaughtered every day with U.S. weapons in the hands of Israel.
Protesters highlighted the humanitarian catastrophe in Gaza, where men, women, and children remain trapped under the siege with no access to food, medicine, or shelter.
Women are being killed by Israel, children are being killed by Israel, but no one is there to speak for them. We all know that Israel is international terrorist.
Israel is an occupying regime and fomenting terrorism. It bombs schools, hospitals, and refugee camps. Any country that supports such brutality is supporting terrorism itself.
Many called for boycotting American and Israeli products, saying economic resistance was their way to support Palestine.
As Israeli attacks continue in Gaza, protests are spreading worldwide with calls for an end to the genocide and urgent aid for millions trapped under siege. Nasser Kazmi, Islamabad.
Iran's president says the Islamic Republic will never give in to dictates of the world bullies and those countries that violate the agreements they have signed. Masoud Pezeshkian was addressing a cabinet meeting after the U.S. and three European parties to the 2015 nuclear agreement illegally reactivated annulled U.N. Security Council sanctions resolutions against Tehran. He said the government has made appropriate plans to deal with any possible condition, with people's livelihood taking the center stage. Pezeshkian noted that Iran made every effort to come up with a just and logical solution to the nuclear issue through negotiations, but that the opposite sides intended to deprive the country of all of its assets. He referred to a religious decree issued by leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, who has prohibited the production of nuclear weapons. Pezeshkian said Iran has never pursued development of nuclear weapons and has always been ready for fair and logical talks based on a well-defined criteria. However, he added, Iran will never engage in negotiations that would cause new problems for the country. Iran's foreign minister has once again categorically rejected the illegal move taken by the U.S. and three European countries to reimpose annulled U.N. sanctions on the country. Abbas Araghchi made the remark in a letter to his counterparts around the world. Araghchi said the attempt by the U.S. and the E3 to reinstate sanctions previously lifted under U.N. Security Council Resolution 2231 is unfounded, unlawful, and invalid. He said Resolution 2231, which endorsed the 2015 nuclear deal, established mutual commitments and reciprocal assurances as the foundation of the agreement. Araghchi stressed that the U.S.'s withdrawal from the agreement and the E3's failure to fulfill their commitments have deprived them of any eligibility to invoke Resolution 2231 for any purpose. He stressed that neither Iran nor any U.N. member is under any legal obligation to comply with such unlawful measures because their recognition or implementation amounts to violation of international law. Araghchi noted that Iran will continue to defend its sovereign rights and legitimate interests firmly, while remaining open to genuine negotiations on an equal footing. Well, thank you very much for this hour's headlines. For more updates, as always, please stay tuned to World News. Goodbye for now.
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, it's now time for a short lecture by Sheikh Mahdi Rastani. In this session, he delves into the teachings of the book for the Hadith by Imam Khomeini, the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This book is a profound exploration of ethical and mystical concepts in Islamic spirituality. Let's listen and reflect together.
We were going through this chapter of At-Tafakkur in the book of Imam al-Khomeini, in which he narrated this hadith from our beloved sixth Imam, Imam al-Sadiq, salawatullahi alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad wa ajjil farajah. عن أبي عبد الله عليه السلام قال كان أمير المؤمنين عليه السلام يقول. He said that the first Imam used to continuously and consistently say the following. يقول نبه بالتفكر قلبك. Awaken your heart through thought and contemplation. وجافع عن النوم جنبك. And leave your place of sleeping, your bed for worship. واتق الله ربك. And be fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or be aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or protect yourself when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's different ways that this word of taqwa can be translated and can be explained. We went through the topic of at-tafakkur. Multiple weeks we were discussing this topic. And now Imam Khomeini moves on to the second portion of this hadith. Because after at-tafakkur, you find that the Imam pinpoints this idea of leaving the sleeping place, the bed, for ibadah and for worship. And so today's portion of the khutbah is going to be dedicated, of course, to this concept of tahajjud, or salatul layl, or the night prayer, or you know whatever we want to call it, namaz al-shab, all of these names referring to the same thing. He says, and he starts out from here, he says that this idea of tafakkur, that the hadith says, a moment of it is better than an hour of worship. A moment of it is better than a whole day of worship. A moment of it is better than 70 years of worship in some ahadith. Imam Khomeini says in this hadith, you find the sixth Imam, he is equating, he is putting this tafakkur and thought and contemplation right beside this salatul layl. He's bringing them together. He's putting them right beside one another. And this means that he is trying to elevate this concept of Salatul Layl. It's very important. And he says, when you look into the ahadith, you find in the lives of our imams, they were very particular about consistently offering this night prayer. And the narrations say, and many of us have heard, that after the incidents of Karbala, that Lady Zainab was very particular about continuing her night prayer or her tahajjud. It's very interesting. I'm going to go off note here just a little bit. That our perception of religion, the priorities that we have within Islam, within our school of thought in particular, in other schools of thought, it might be, you know, altered in a different way. In our school of thought, what we can speak of and what we need to learn is that there are certain things Ahlul Bayt have heavily emphasized, but normally we don't emphasize them as much. Meaning that they prioritize these things, but we don't prioritize them as much. And one of them is this Salatul Layl. And we'll go through the ahadith that speak about the effect of Salatul Layl and the reward, both of them on the same side, all together. But the reality is, when you look in the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt, they take this Salatul Layl, the Nawafil, the Mustahab prayers, they give a lot of importance to it. And in the general Shi'i perspective of religion and faith, usually we don't give that much importance to it. That's the reality. Many of us have heard the famous hadith of Imam Hassan al-Askari, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad, in which he says, a believer, a mu'min, has these following signs. Yes? There's different signs. And amongst those signs, of course, is Ziyaratul Arba'in. Whenever Arba'in comes around, of course, we hear of this hadith, and we should. And we think about these Ziyaratul Arba'in, and everyone says, well, I have to make sure that I do this Ziyaratul Arba'in. Otherwise, the hadith is saying that I'm not at that level of faith. I'm not at that level of iman. So we all make an effort to do so. And it is, of course, important. There's no doubt about it. And we almost don't even pay attention to the other signs. And amongst those other signs are the mustahab prayers. And amongst the most important of the mustahab prayers is what? Is this Salatul Layl. In the general Shi'i perspective of religion, you go to the average Shi'i individual and you ask them, says, is Ziyaratul Arba'in just as important as these mustahab prayers? You'll find that usually it doesn't. No, Ziyaratul Arba'in is a different level. These mustahab prayers, you know, they're good too. Yet you find in the hadith of the Imam, he says, the signs of the mu'min are these things. All of them are part of the signs of a mu'min. But generally, we pay attention to certain aspects. And there might be certain reasons for it, and so on and so forth. We have to go back to the way Ahlul Bayt used to look at the religion, because nobody knows the religion better than them, as they say. Nobody knows what was revealed in this house better than the people of the house itself. That's a point for another time. He says, when you look into the book, like a book like Wasa'il al-Shia, that has gathered multiple ahadith from different books, he says you will find hadith after hadith after hadith that speaks about this night prayer. And one that, unfortunately, we generally, I speak of myself, we don't pay attention to. And I want to go through a couple of these ahadith. Some of them are very beautiful. An Sahl ibn Sa'ad qala ja'a Jibreel alayhi salam ila an-nabi faqala ya Muhammad salawatullahi wa salamu alayhi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. The narration says that Jibreel came to the Prophet and he said, O Muhammad, عِشْ مَا شِئِتْ فَإِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ. O Muhammad, live as long as you want, but know that the time of death is going to come. There's no escape from that. وَأَحْبِبْ مَا شِئِتْ فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُهُ. And love whatever and whoever you want, فَإِنَّكَ مُفَارِقُهُ. There's going to come a point where you have to walk away from that thing. You might love anyone or anything in this world, there's going to come a time where you will be distanced from that thing. وَعْمَلْ مَا شِئِتْ فَإِنَّكَ مَجْزِيٌ بِهِ. And do whatever you want to do, because whatever you choose to do, then there's going to be consequences. Good consequences or negative consequences, either way. And then he said this, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ شَرَفَ الرَّجُلِ قِيَامُهُ بِاللَّيْلِ. He said, and know that the dignity of a human being lies in him worshipping during the nighttime. This is his dignity. This is that thing that, you know, makes him look nice, makes him look presentable. And there's a particular reason why the hadith is choosing this particular wording. And we'll get to that momentarily. أَنَّ شَرَفَ الرَّجُلِ قِيَامُهُ بِاللَّيْلِ وَعِزُّهُ إِسْتِغْنَاؤُهُ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And his pride lies in him feeling needless towards the people. Yes? Meaning that when he comes across people, he doesn't feel like he is in need of them. He does not approach people in the sense of, well, I need this person. I have to rely on this person. Yes? If this person doesn't help me, then I'm stuck. There's no way we can do this. He relies on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why hadith says, beautifully, says the mu'min who comes across a wealthy person, and he gives salam to him differently than he gives salam to the poor person. Simply because of his wealth, not because of anything else. Not because we have a closer relationship, this person is maybe a better person. Not because of any of these things. Just because what? He has his wealth. The hadith says, this person, ذَهَبَ ثُلُثَ دِينِهِ. Two-thirds of his faith just flew away. Just lost two-thirds of his faith. Because he's relying too much on what? On the wealth of this person. وَعِزُّهُ إِسْتِغْنَاؤُهُ عَنِ النَّاسِ.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
عليم حليم حكيم متين.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step brothers not the last one
هو الذی ارسل رسوله بالهدى
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth that he may make it prevail over all religions though the polytheists should be averse.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد موسیقی خاصی دارد روش خاصی دارد
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones. But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran, Quran.
More than one-third of Iranian pilots of the Phantom fighter jets were martyred, captured, or went missing during the eight-year war between Iran and Iraq, marking the highest casualty rate among all branches of the armed forces. This program is dedicated to those unforgettable heroes. To the men of the most challenging cross-border operations, the Phantom fighter pilots of the Air Force. Phantom fighter jet was originally designed to defend U.S. aircraft carriers against enemy aircraft. However, its exceptional capabilities led the U.S. Air Force to adopt it as well. With the ability to carry over 8 tons of weaponry and its long operational range, the Phantom was employed both as a light bomber and an air defense interceptor. In Iran, Phantoms were purchased to fulfill both roles, serving as light bombers and interceptor fighters. As he was returning to base, the radar informed him that an Iraqi MiG-21 was bombing Iranian forces in the Sadpur-e-Zahab region.
من منصرف شدن از برگشتن رفتن پایگاه به رادار گفتم من میرم دنبالش.
Atiqachi changed course toward the target. The Iraqi pilot, upon seeing the Iranian fighter pursuing him, quickly fled into Iraqi territory. In November 1981, a week after the martyrdom of Ikradi, Major Atiqachi and Captain Ali Ashkan were flying over the region of Ilam. Ground radar informed them an Iraqi aircraft was approaching. The opponent was a MiG-23 known as the Flogger. At that time, the MiG-23 was considered Iraq's most advanced fighter jet. The Soviet Union had developed it to counter the new generation of American fighter jets. Qarabaghi's sudden decision to use the afterburners reduced the explosive impact of the Iraqi missile by dispersing the engine's exhaust gases and flames. With great difficulty, he managed to land the damaged Phantom on the runway. An hour later, Colonel Golchin, the base commander, confirmed the downing of the MiG-21 had been hit by Qarabaghi's aircraft machine gun. The Iraqi aircraft, damaged by gunfire, had failed to return to its base. During the middle years of the war, the Air Force suffered heavily from sanctions. While the war was taking its toll on Iranian pilots and aircraft, the country was unable to purchase any new planes. Aircraft parts were rarely available and had to be acquired at extremely high prices from the black market. Meanwhile, Iraq was receiving advanced fighter models in large numbers. New variants of the MiG-23, equipped with upgraded heat-seeking missiles for aerial combat, were entering service. But the Phantoms faced even more serious opponents, MiG-25s and French Mirage F-1s. The Mirage F-1 is a fast and agile aircraft with delta-shaped wings. Its design and electronic systems are more advanced than those of the Phantom. Iraqi Mirages were equipped with radar-guided Matra missiles. These missiles had a longer range than the Phantom's Sparrow missiles. Iraqi Mirages also carried precise heat-seeking missiles called Magic, used in close-range combat. Mirage pilots in Iraq were trained in France and received thorough instruction in aerial combat tactics. Based on this training, Iraq moved away from the Soviet-style flight system, which relied heavily on ground radar controllers guiding the pilot, and instead gave pilots more autonomy in air engagements. Mirages succeeded in targeting several Iranian aircraft in aerial combat. Are also used to bomb key locations inside Iranian territory. Targeting Iranian oil tankers in the Persian Gulf with Exocet anti-ship missiles was assigned to Mirage pilots. During the tanker war, Saddam Hussein, seeking to compensate for defeats on the ground and to weaken the morale of the Iranian people, ordered air raids on the Iranian residential cities. This brutal campaign, known as the War of the Cities, aimed to open a new front and also undermine the defensive capacity of Iran's air force. In the final years of the war, Iraq intensified the War of Cities in an effort to break the Iranian nation's resolve. As part of this escalation, the Iraqi Air Force bombed the city of Hamadan and the 3rd Tactical Fighter Base. In one of these raids, several bombs struck the base's residential housing units. On one afternoon in January of 1987, Colonel Bahiri, the commander of the Hamadan Air Base, was sitting in the base's alert room when Air Force intelligence learned that Iraqi aircraft were preparing to take off from Kut Air Base. It appeared their target was the city of Kermanshah. The 3rd Tactical Fighter Base in Hamadan was tasked with defending Kermanshah despite shortages and limitations. The main challenge was that Kermanshah was geographically closer to Iraqi air bases than to Hamadan. The mountainous terrain also meant that the main Western radar station in Subashi, Hamadan, would not detect incoming Iraqi aircraft until they were right over the Iranian border. Because nightfall was approaching, Colonel Bahiri decided to take the alert mission himself instead of sending in the younger pilots. As the Iraqi aircraft passed over Islamabad Gharb, the Iranian Phantom turned toward them. These were the most advanced assets of the Iraqi Air Force, Mirage F-1s, some of which were armed with anti-aircraft missiles to protect the Mirage bombers. Iraq had received advanced electronic warfare pods from France. These pods disrupted the radars of Iranian fighters, preventing them from locking on and launching their missiles against Iraqi aircraft. The Iraqi Mirage quickly pulled away from Bahiri's line of fire, but the Iranian Phantom once again attacked the formation of Iraqi aircraft, trying to scatter them so they could not drop their bombs on the city. About a month later, an Iraqi Mirage was shot down by anti-aircraft fire and its pilot was captured. The war ended with the Air Force of the Army leaving behind, by the admission of both friend and foe, a commendable record. Yet it seems the very people who made that record possible have been lost in the twists and turns of time.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
This is the part of the speech delivered by Imam Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, in a meeting with veterans of the Sacred Defense and the resistance field. The meeting was held in the Imam Khomeini Husseiniya on September 20th, 2023, inaugurating Sacred Defense Week. Of course, I obviously do not intend to carry out this goal in this meeting. It is impossible. It is a large, extensive, comprehensive task. Nevertheless, I would like to speak about some aspects of it. We want the greatness of this event to be known. The greatness of this event can be looked at from several angles. The greatness of this event can be looked at from several angles and perspectives. One of its angles concerns what was being defended, because we are talking about a sacred defense. So, what were we defending? That's the first issue. If we look at it from this angle, an important part of the greatness of this event will become apparent. Another angle is, who was the defense confronting? Who was it that had attacked us that necessitated a defense? This is another angle which I think is important. The third perspective or angle is, who were the defenders? This is also a novel and important thing that I will mention two or three sentences about. The fourth angle is, what were the results and achievements of this defense? Now, I have mentioned these four aspects, but of course, it can be viewed from other angles as well. So we need to discuss this. We need to think, study, and ask ourselves what was being defended. Second, who was the defense confronting? Third, who was doing the defending? Fourth, what was the result of this defense? I believe that each one of these issues is very important. We need to think and study each one of these issues. This is very important. As to what was being defended, the Islamic Revolution, the Islamic Republic, which was the product of defending the Islamic Revolution, and the country's territorial integrity were being defended. These were the three important things that were being defended. The other side had attacked these three things. Of course, the target of the main important part of the front of the enemy, which I will explain later in the second part of my speech, was not the issue of territorial integrity. That was Saddam's goal. Their target was the revolution. They wanted to suppress this unparalleled, great, important revolution that had taken place in Iran thanks to the sacrifices that had been made by the people.
Gave me hope, oh Allah, I want to thank you. I
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
Welcome to all our listeners from around the world. I'm Asma here in Tehran announcing our program schedule for the next hour. Hope you will accompany us into the early hours of this morning. We start tonight's lineup with today's special daily mix format program that deals with various Islamic and Iranian occasions. That will be followed by Hadith of the Day. The program presents a hadith from the Holy Prophet and members of his household, the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, along with a brief explanation and commentary on the hadith. Then we have our radio productions feature. And to round up this hour's programs, we have Let's Recite the Quran. The program teaches eloquent recitation of the Quran at level 2. Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program. Today is a special. Today's topic is oral health, scientific findings, and Islamic perspectives.
I pray to God, my heart, soul, and body, every single